So Psalm 123 then. I'll read it in a moment. And before we read it, has anybody asked you this question ever or recently? How is your relationship with God? I find that question difficult to answer when somebody asks it. I'm not quite sure what they're getting at. But it gets at a really wonderful truth about Christianity, about what we believe about the Lord Jesus, which is maybe different from what others believe in their various religions, which is that we do have a personal relationship with God. We don't just have a list of rules which we follow. We don't just believe in a kind of a force out there in the ether. We believe in a personal God who we have a personal relationship with. And especially when we come to pray, I wonder, what kind of relationship with God do you have in mind? As you come to pray, what kind of relationship do you imagine that you have with the God that you're praying to? The Bible gives a few different pictures of our relationship with God, of what kind of relationship it is. For example, it talks of us being God's children. We have a relationship with God as a father, as with his child. Of course, we're the child. It's Ephesians 1, isn't it, which talks about us being adopted into God's family. A few weeks ago at Yorkshire Camps, we started a youth club, kind of a weekly club, not something we'd done before, and a few children have been coming along. Now there's a brother and a sister called Jaden and Gracie who've been coming to that. They weren't there this Monday most recently, having been there the previous 2 weeks. And the reason that they weren't there this week is because they were in London and they were celebrating the 10-year anniversary of being adopted into the family that they're now part of. And I thought, great, what a great thing to celebrate. 10 years of having been adopted into that family. Not being kind of tacked on to the side of the family in an inferior way, but becoming wholly a part of that family, enjoying the love of their new parents, etc. And yet, what a great thing to celebrate after 10 years. And it is wonderful, isn't it, to think that we're adopted into God's family and we have that relationship as a father has with his child. But there's other things as well. The Bible talks about us having a relationship with God in the same way that a judge has with a criminal. Especially in the New Testament, there's lots of courtroom language, isn't there? Where we talk about being justified, etc. God is the judge, we are the guilty sinner, and what is he going to do with us? Well, praise God, because of the Lord Jesus, he finds us innocent, not on our own merit, but on his, but he is the judge, and we are the criminal. A third way that we could view our relationship with God is like this, and I'll read Psalm 123 in a moment, is the relationship between a master and a slave, or a master and a servant, depending on what translation of the Bible you use. So I'll read Psalm 123. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud. So, as the eyes of the servant look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. When we come to pray, we come as a master and as a servant, pardon, comes before their master, not demanding anything from them, not deserving or earning anything from them, just simply looking to their hand for mercy. And we see in this psalm, I don't know who wrote it, it doesn't tell me in the Bible, whoever it was, they're almost pleading with God, have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, because of the situation that he's in, filled with the contempt, filled with the scorn of those who are at ease, presumably those who don't follow the living God, the contempt of the proud, filled with their scorn and their disgrace. He just comes before God for mercy. So I suppose the question that I'll ask then is, can this psalmist, whoever it is, as he pleads with God for mercy, as a slave or a servant does before their master, Can he know that he will find mercy? Can he know that for sure? Can he go confidently to his master asking for that? Bearing in mind in particular that he wrote this in Old Testament times, and sometimes people have a view, don't they, that in the Old Testament of the Bible there's a cruel, judgmental, punishing God, and in the New Testament there's a gracious, kind, loving, forgiving, merciful God. I once watched I was watching a TV program where there was a vicar on the program as a guest, and she said at one point in the when she was asked a question, she said, I don't really do with the Old Testament. I'm more of a New Testament kind of person. I just want to skip to the love bits. And she said that as a vicar on national television. Anyway, some people have that view. And this person is writing in Old Testament times. Can he know? Is he confident that God will provide mercy? Well, you don't need me to tell you. Yes, he can. For two reasons. Firstly, because God had said that is what he's like. A favourite passage for many people and a famous passage in the Old Testament of the Bible, which I'm sure this psalmist was very familiar with, is in Exodus 33, where God reveals some of his glory or his goodness to Moses. And I don't know what Moses was expecting when he asked God to see his glory. It's a bold request. Was he expecting fireworks or flames? Well, what he got was God walking past him, covering his hand, covering his view with his hand, and proclaiming his own name. And what did he say? The Lord, the Lord. And he says, showing mercy to thousands. And I was going to read it, but I won't. And mercy, God says, is part of his character. He had told them that he is a merciful God. And not only had he said that, but he'd shown that as well. Again, a famous story, but why did Jonah not want to go to Nineveh? Well, not because he was scared, but because he was so confident in the mercy of God, and he didn't want the Ninevites to receive that mercy. So to somebody who says the God of the Old Testament wasn't a God of mercy, well, Jonah didn't agree. Jonah was so confident in that God was a God of mercy that he didn't want to preach God's mercy because he knew God would show mercy to the people who Jonah didn't want to receive it. God, time and time again, had shown his mercy. So this psalmist could be confident that he would receive it from his master. How about us then? Well, we can be even more confident than this psalmist was as he came before God pleading for mercy. We can be even more certain than he was as we come before our God to make our petitions and requests, as we will do in the final section of this meeting. We can be even more confident than he can because we have seen even more of what God has done for humanity. This psalmist did not know the name Jesus. He did not know the fullness of God's plan, which was going to come to fruition maybe hundreds or thousands of years later from when he wrote this. We can look at the cross. We can see God sacrifice his own son for the forgiveness of the world. Sacrifice his spotless, sinless, innocent son for guilty, vile servants like us. And well, the New Testament presents that as the ultimate proof of God's love, doesn't it? Romans 5 verse 8, God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. If we want to be certain that God is a God of mercy and that we will receive that when we come before him, we can look at the cross. And so as we come tonight to make our prayers and petitions, let's do it with the humble attitude of a servant coming before our master, knowing that he owes us nothing. We can earn nothing from him. We can't demand anything of him, but knowing confidently that he is merciful and that we will find that when we plead for it, like this psalm does. We will sing, I haven't checked what number it is, but it's, I